selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And I hope everybody's doing good this evening. I hope Jules is doing fine. I haven't had a lot of time to check up on it. I'm kind of licking my own wounds here after being to the courthouse last Friday. Spent another bunch of hours yesterday at the local hospital here getting things checked out. And it appears everybody that I've talked to so far in that was in the courtroom that day wants to hold not only the police accountable for my injuries, but also the judge, which I totally agree with. So we're going to see if we can't dig up a lawyer and get this thing underway and bring a civil suit against the judge and the two Dobermans that attacked me, and we'll see where that takes us. But it's all about what you do to you get to an end point, and this is part of the game that you go through. And anytime you got to deal with a court and police at the same time, it can get a little tricky. And so I'm not surprised, although, I've never attacked anybody from behind. If you want a bone to pick with me, then you come and face me. Chicken shits sneak up behind people. People who are chicken shits sneak up behind people. What else can I say? And attack them from behind. You know, I don't like people who sucker punch people, and I don't like this nonsense of being attacked from behind. That is what a real chicken shit does. You got something to say, then say it to somebody's face. But anyways, I imagine eventually, hopefully I will heal up and get on with things. So, I have to write a statement here soon. A lady lives just outside of Washington, D.C., who I met at the Newmarket Court when Michael was there for his injunction case. And that's Michael Schmidt, the raw milk farmer here in Ontario, has been persecuted for getting 24 years now. dragged in out of courts, dragged in out of jail, been robbed, had his equipment broken up. Takes a very, very, very strong guy to stand up that long, but that's what we need, is we need strong men and women to stand up. Which will bring me to a little story here that was sent to me today. I had a really miserable night last night. I couldn't, man, the pain in my shoulder, holy crap. Not just my shoulder, eh? It goes up into my neck and it goes down to my fingertips. You know, I swear right now the 2-year-old child's got more grip on his left hand than I got. And I find that rather irritating. But like I said, someday it should heal. I got sent a kind of a rather interesting email not that long ago, an hour ago or so. And I find it kind of interesting. It's titled a new, well, like this title anyways, or it's a question mark, I guess it's a question. A new era of censorship and Bolshevik control. And the name of the article is Barbarians at the Schoolhouse Door. Now, this does not surprise me at all. You know, it kind of reminds me of several other movies through the ages. Because they always tell you what they're up to, right? They tell you what they're up to today. They tell you what they're going to be up to in 2 decades from now or longer. But they always tell you. People got to quit. You got to get by this idea that you're being entertained. You know, you're paying out of your pocket to go watch the movie or pay for your cable or pay for a magazine. And in the vast majority of the instances, it's you're paying for material that they produce that they're trying to tell you what they're up to. But unfortunately, most people don't get that. Oh, it's just entertainment. No, it ain't. No, it's not. They are producing this stuff and you're paying for it. And they're telling you exactly what they're up to or what their future plans are. Okay, so, you know, this goes to the idea of the digital world, really. And it's a very dangerous world, whether they like to believe it or not. Because once everything's digitized, it's not solid anymore, okay? And they can change that in a moment. Or they can shut things down in a moment. And a good example of that is I went to, after I got to the hospital yesterday, I went to the, down to my local Max there to get a cup of coffee that was the day before, I guess. But anyways, the debit machines were down. And they'd been down all day. And I was driving the poor lady at the counter nuts. She got a sign on the front door, right? Cash only, debit down, right? And but people in this day and age can't see a sign. It was a good size sign. Right smack on the door that you got to open to get in the store, saying cash only, debit not working. And she was getting really flustered because people kept coming to the counter with armloads of stuff that you really shouldn't be eating anyways, but putting it on the counter and pulling out their debit card, and she'd go, "Did you not see the sign? What sign?" One on the door. No. Well, our debit machines are down, so we need cash. Oh, well, I don't have any of that. And they just leave all the shit. They just leave all this stuff on the counter, right? So she spent her whole day running stuff back to where these people picked it up from. And really getting irritated. And she's going, you know, I thought they were as dumb as they could possibly get, but they seem to be getting dumber every damn day. And she's absolutely correct. Oh, excuse me. Ow, that hurt. Oh, damn. Anyway, so, yeah, she was, thought everybody had been dumbed down as far as they could get, but not even close yet. There's a ways to go yet. Although, when you see them, you look at them, and you can tell who actually can still think and who can't. You can actually see it. And the numbers that can still think are getting dramatically smaller than those that can't think is getting vastly larger. But anyways, this story here, and this story is actually, this was forwarded to me by Faye, who listens to the show out of Calgary, who I really appreciate some of the stuff she sends me. And I know they're busting their tail out in Calgary trying to alert people to what the hell's actually taking place. So this story that was forwarded to me by Tom DeWeese. Some people like Tom DeWeese, some people don't. Had him on the show once, and I should try and get him back, I guess. Anyways, I won't say too much positive or negative about Tom. Regardless. Anyways, the barbarians have finally broken down the school doors and are now plundering knowledge. Books are their target. Banning them is the goal. In New York City, administration or administrators at the Life Sciences Secondary School have ordered all textbooks rounded up and removed. Books, they say, are antiquated. Instead, technology is to be the new god of learning. Of course, the excuse is that the books are expensive. The schools complain that the kids lose the books or they wear out and there's no budget to replace them. And more importantly, using iPads means they can be automatically updated with the latest information, scientific discovery, and technology. So the schools need to keep up with the latest developments to keep the kids on top, they say. It's a wide, wonderful, brave new world. Aren't our children lucky to live in these times? Everything today's schoolhouse is apparently designed for the comfort and ease of the children. No stress, no demands, no expectations. And that's one thing that I see that really makes me nuts. You know, these competitions for young children now, and it doesn't matter if you're even less than last place, if that's possible. Maybe the turtle beat you across the line. But you get an award. Right? I guess it's a, gee, you can breathe award. Everybody seems to get an award because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So you, none of you are winners. You're all losers. Anyways, it goes on here. And so the books were piled up in the hallway of the school. Next stop, the trash bin. Most were in good condition, including hundreds of math, algebra, geometry, and various English literature textbooks. Also strewn around the floor were copies of Romeo and Juliet and A Streetcar Named Desire. The technocrats will argue that the World Wide Web contains vast knowledge for the taking with the right tools. They argue that printed books are limited, that printed textbooks soon become antiquated. And so the future of learning is achieved by opening up this superhighway of knowledge in the classroom so every child has access. Thus, throw away the books and unchain their minds. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous indeed, because that's what I say, you know, like I've said it a lot in the past, that, you know, we have a duty to our forefathers who opened up these lands, wherever it is you are, and we also have a duty to the children, grandchildren, those not yet born. And the problem is, people are sitting on their hands. People don't want to bite the hand that feeds them, so to speak. And so they're cowering. They're chicken shit. They don't want to get in trouble. Well, all you have to do is take a look around. You're like in quicksand now, okay? You're sinking. But they don't want to struggle. I think they'll stay afloat longer if they don't struggle. You know, the thing with quicksand, don't struggle in the quicksand, it'll suck you down. Right? So they'll just sit there passively and hope all of this passes, or their life passes and they don't have to deal with it. What I was saying, you know, is that someday, somewhere, some kid's going to find a book or something that explains some of this stuff that's been taken away from, that they've never been allowed to know or experience. And when they get that knowledge, when this thing's all locked down and they run into some of this knowledge somewhere that won't be available to them, they're going to have to find it someplace. Because the history is being rewritten constantly. And it takes away their bearing. It takes away their footing. And I say someday, you know, when we're gone, if we don't do something now, one of these kids is going to, maybe it's your grandkid, maybe it's your grandkid's kid, but is going to find something. And they're going to come and they're going to stand over your grave when they read that. And they're going to say, why didn't you do something? And that's the question. That is the only question. Something has to start happening. Anyways, to finish this little story up here, the incident at the middle school in New York is not isolated. It's a growing trend. Cushing Academy, a private prep school in Massachusetts, just dumped its 20,000 library books. Instead, the library has been revamped into a pseudo-internet cafe. Here the students can watch the three television flat screens or just sit and talk. And that's the truth. You know, that's the truth. And now here's another one before I go where I'm going to go back. I want to continue a little bit with this. With this book thing, but here's another little story by Kathleen Merriked. Extremely early onset of senility in youth. I was asked to put together a piece on the lunacy of today's youth because I have no imagination. I'm sticking with stories I found showing what is going on in today's world of those younger than, say, maybe 35. And that's true. When I say we got to get to the youth, you go 35 down, right? And people 35 down are pretty much have no connection to squat anymore. They got no footing. As I see it, the schools have achieved at least 75% or more the goal of changing American children's attitudes, values, and beliefs to do that they had to dumb down them severely. One measure of this accomplishment is the IMHO, which I'm not sure what that stands for, is the extreme amount of political correctness in today's world of youth, colleges, and media. Every time that I think PC-ness has taken them as far as it can go, I am proven wrong by the new no-no. Example, today I read where some school said you can change your gender of choice daily if you choose. With everything so amorphous, there is no base, no foundation upon which values, attitudes, beliefs can be grounded. It is as if moral relativity has mestricized into every atom of life. Someone please tell me I'm wrong and show me why. Well, you're not wrong. You're absolutely correct. And we got a mess on our hands. So when I read this thing about barbarians at the schoolhouse door, it reminded me of Fahrenheit 451. And I didn't think it was... I watched that movie a long time ago, in the probably late 60s. And I thought, well, that's an odd movie. And what the movie's about, if you're not aware, Fahrenheit 451 is about burning books. That's what the firemen do. They burn books. And so when I saw this story come to me that Faye forwarded to me, you know, I thought, okay, this movie was made in 66 off a Ray Bradbury book written in the 50s. So this is long-term stuff, man. You know, and everybody just blows it off. So the basis of the story, so when was it written? 53. The book was written 1 year before I was born. No wonder I came out of my mother asking questions. No freaking wonder. Anyways, if you don't know, Fahrenheit 451 is a 66th British dystopian science fiction drama based on this 53 novel of the same name by Ray Bradbury. The film takes place in a controlled society in an oppressive future in which a fireman whose duty it is to burn all literature becomes a fugitive for reading. In the future, a totalitarian government employs a force known as firemen to seek out and destroy all literature, permitting them to search anyone, anywhere, anytime. One of the firemen, Guy Montag, meets one of his neighbors, Clarice, a 20-year-old school teacher whose job is hanging by a thread due to her unorthodox views. The two have a discussion about his job, where she asked if he ever reads the books he burns. Curious, he begins to hide books in his house and read them, starting with David Copperfield. This leads to conflict with his wife, Linda, who is more concerned with being popular enough to be a member of the family. Now, this is a book that was written in 53. And the fireman's wife is more concerned with being popular enough to be a member of the family, an interactive television program that refers to its viewers as cousins. Early reality TV, I guess. At the house of a book collector, the captain, Cusack talks with Montag at length about how the books change people and make them want to be better than others, which is considered antisocial. The book collector, a middle-aged woman who was seen with Clarice a few times during Montag's rides to and from work, refuses to leave her house, opting instead to burn herself in the house so she can die with her books. Returning home that day, Montag tries to tell his wife and her friends about the woman who martyred herself in the name of the books and controls them, confronts him about knowing anything. This is sweet. It's a really strange movie, right? Because it's a British movie. That makes it strange in its own, and it's an old B movie kind of thing. It is much more credible today than it was when it first came out. So Montag, the fireman, tries to tell his wife and friends about the woman who martyred herself. And confronts him about confronts his wife and her friends about knowing anything about what's going on in the world, calling them zombies and telling them they are just killing time instead of living life. And that's what the vast majority of people are doing today. The vast, vast majority of the people are doing today. Disturbed over Montag's behavior, his wife's friends try to leave, but Montag stops them by forcing them to sit and listen to a novel passage. During the reading, one of Linda's friends breaks down crying, aware of the feelings she repressed over the years, while Linda's other friends leave in disgust over Montag's cruelty and the sick content of the novel. That night, Montag dreams of Clarice at the book collector who killed herself. That same night, He dreamed about that. That same night, her house is raided, but she escapes through a trap door in the roof thanks to her uncle. Montag breaks into the captain's office looking for information about the missing Clarice and is caught but not punished. Montag meets with Clarice and helps her break back into her house to destroy papers that would bring the fireman to others like her. She tells him of the book people, a hidden sect of people who flout the law, each of whom have memorized a book to keep it alive. Later, Montag tells the captain he is resigning, but is convinced to go on one more call, which turns out to be Montag's house. So the fireman is going to go raid his own house. His wife leaves the house, telling Montag that she couldn't live with his book obsession, and leaves him to be punished by the fireman. Angrily, he destroys the bedroom and television before setting fire to the books. The captain lectures him about the books and pulls the last book from Montag's coat, for which Montag kills him. He escapes and finds the book people, where he views his capture on television staged to keep the masses entertained and because the government doesn't want him alive. Montag selects a book to memorize. So there's all kinds of things you can tie this to. When I was reading this, you know, I'm thinking about Michael Schmidt's 24-year-old persecution that he and the, not the book people, but the milk people have been under. And, and it's true. It's a sect, right? It's really no different than Waco. They centered these people out as a sect that was different somehow than society as a whole, and they somehow became a danger to society. And that's what they're doing with Michael and the milk, is that they attempted to bastardize the idea of actual real food or raw milk. And, I get people all the time talk, you know, they'll say, what the hell is going on? I grew up drinking raw milk. I'm healthy as a horse. What the hell are you talking about? Well, yeah, I know, but it's about centering people out. We have all kinds of examples of it. And this is where we're at now, you know, and I read somewhere somebody said that this was, in one of the comments, I'm reading this off of Wikipedia, this is under reception, somebody here described it as 1984 stuff, a little lacking on plot, rather tentatively directed, but with some charming moments. But it's an English movie, what do you want? And it's an old movie, and they probably made it on no budget. But, you know, you go back, I always tell people, you got to go back to understand, you got to go back and understand what was going on back there in order to understand what's going on today. And that's what they're getting rid of the books for, because the books, whether or not they're correct or not, i.e. our history books are far from correct, but at least there's some basis there you can work with, whereas now, just like 1984 with the Ministry of Truth, is banging this stuff out at you. I mean, pick up a newspaper. They've gone over the top. I mean, you know, people used to laugh at that rag, the Inquirer, and mainstream news is making the Inquirer and these other rags look more plausible every day. As far as what they're writing being the truth versus what the mainstream media is writing. So, you know, it's about mind control and so on and so forth. And if you get a chance, watch the movie. I think you may find some truths in it or something that you can attach to today. But when I was looking up Fahrenheit 451, this really got my attention. HBO, this is April the 17th, 2017. HBO is making a Fahrenheit 451 movie. So they're updating it. And I don't know exactly. Now see, this looks extremely dark and sinister. You know, that's what they've done. They've made everything dark and sinister now. And it's getting darker and more sinister all the time. So Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon, I have no clue who these people are. I don't watch movies. I don't watch TV. So I have no clue. You may know who they are. But anyways, this goes on to say Ray Bradbury's famous 1953 novel Fahrenheit 451 is getting a feature-length update. HBO is set to make a new movie adaptation of the book, directed by Ramin Baharani, co-starring the two guys I mentioned. Jordan will play Montag, a firefighter who burns books in a dystopian future where such things are outlaw. He then has a change of heart and feuds with his boss. Legendary filmmaker Francois Truffaut adopted the novel himself in 66 film, and the idea of another remake has been kicking around for some time. Mel Gibson was even attached at some point, but now it falls on HBO. So they're gonna make a new movie, make an update on Fahrenheit 451. So that starts in 1953 when the novel was written, is now 2017, and boom, back in your face again. And when we see that the schools are starting to remove the books, we got a big problem. Now, while I can research very fast using the internet, you if you don't know what questions to ask while you're doing the research of yourself, and you aren't really hardcore, it's very, very easily to get pulled into a bunch of nonsense. And that's the biggest problem with the internet. Most people don't have a clue how to use it. Most people don't have the time to use it properly. You know, I see stories all the time getting spread around. And you go, what the hell is this? And it takes all of like 3 to 5 minutes to find out that it's completely garbage, right? You have so much of this alternative media, which is not alternative media at all. It's just a way to bring people wrong information that they'll believe. Not unlike mainstream media. And then people run with it, you know, and that's very, very dangerous. Because they'll run with it for quite some period of time, and some of them will hang on to it. You know, now there's another guy here. What's his first name? Peterson. Jordan Peterson from the University of Toronto, who's bringing in about 60 grand a month or something off of one of the UFundMe sites. And that site was started by the guy that started the Rebel on internet alternative media. He just happens to be a conservative Jew. And was a lawyer. And he has a particular thing that he's pushing. You got to be careful with that stuff. Now, Jordan Peterson is, I appreciate what the guy's doing. Now, he's the guy that's pushing back against all these LGBTQ2XYZ pronouns and stuff. And he's taking a real hit for it. And that's fine. And I appreciate what he's doing because he brought some very important stuff to the forefront. Now he teaches philosophy and psychology, which is two strikes against Mr. Peterson right off the bat, because the philosophy and the psychology is exactly what has got us to where we are today. But it seems something has perked or irritated Mr. Peterson, and I do intend to talk to him. I would like to have him on the show because I'd like to kind of ruffle his feathers a little bit, which a lot of people would jump all over me for, but that's fine. Because Mr. Peterson, while he's doing a certain amount of good work, he's been suckered by this idea of philosophy and psychology. That's what he teaches. And somewhere he must believe in philosophy and psychology if he's teaching it. And both are very, very dangerous. And they're not of truth. Now, one of these great so-called philosophers, some people call him Nietzsche, some people call him Nietzsche, whatever. Friedrich Nietzsche is how I will pronounce his name. Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche was a German philosopher, cultural critic, poet, and Latin and Greek scholar whose work has exerted a profound influence on Western philosophy and modern intellectual history. You know, so I heard of this guy before, never really looked into him too deep, but I spent a few hours looking at this guy, and this is the problem, or one of the problems at least. I first ran into this guy's name some time back, probably I'm thinking a year and a half, and I was looking through a book, oops, one they didn't burn yet apparently, and This was the changeout time, the mid-19th century. This was the changeout time. This was going from the dark ages to the enlightened ages or whatever. This was going from rural to industrial times. And this was going from the creator of the world to man becoming the creator. And that's where things started going downhill fast. And we have these crackpot so-called philosophers who come out. And when I was reading the book, and I don't recall what the name of the book, it's buried somewhere deep in my Facebook someplace, maybe on my blog, but I don't know. But anyways, in that book, it says that they killed, or Nietzsche killed God. We killed God, and the reason for killing God was that God was the creator of the earth, and they said they couldn't bring ecology forward if God was alive, because what the change out there was going from having respect or worshiping whatever, rather you said, having respect for the creator, and then worshiping the creation. Now, that's the satanic switch out, okay? Now, you may think this language is silly, but this is the language they use, so it's not silly at all. It's about good and evil, and the evil ones, that he would destroy the creation. So anyways, they couldn't bring ecology forward without with God being alive, so they killed him. And they replaced the priests with the scientists, okay? So the science is the new religion. And you're not supposed to question the science, just like you weren't supposed to question the priests. And you shouldn't do any study, you should just believe what they say and be done with it. And that's why when someone questions things like global warming or why you're poisoning our food or whatever, you can't, the scientists know. No, they don't, right? They're manipulators, they're deceivers. just the same as the old priests were. Now, the old priests and the science, neither one's got anything to do with God, right? It says in the King James Bible that religion is a form of deception. And now we've changed out religion, and science is a religion. So, which makes the Green Movement a religion. Anyway, so when I look into this Nietzsche guy, it turns out he's a nutcase. Now, the story kind of goes roughly here that, I don't know how old he was, four or something, or I don't know, I would have to look at that again, but he was young anyways. I don't know if he was four or 14. No, he wasn't 14. He was young anyways. So his dad apparently was a Lutheran minister, preacher, pastor, whatever his title was, and died a pretty poor death. Apparently, they did an autopsy on the guy, and half his brain was missing. So we already know we got a problem in the family here somewhere genetically. And because he was going to grow up and be a Lutheran minister or pastor or whatever. And then when his father died, he was distraught. Like, why did you kill my dad, right? You know, he's pushing your stuff. And so he got a little weirded out about that. And then he ended up at some universities or whatever. And then he ended up in this place where they were questioning the existence of a God. And, you know, then he was in, I think, Catholic, whatever it is, a Catholic university or whatever, or where they train Catholics. He was asking some questions and that, and then he was asked to leave, I guess, because they didn't think he had the capacity to be one of their mouthpieces. And then he goes on this long trail. He's all over the place. He's into this, into that. And his philosophy started from being angry. And then he wanted to get rid of God, and he thought that was standing in the way. And so on and so forth. And then he later on, he started to really lose it and ended up kind of dying the same way as his dad. I don't know if he died of brain cancer or not, but he I guess today you would call it early Alzheimer's or something, because he was like only in his 40s or whatever, and started making no sense whatsoever. Well, he didn't make any sense from the start, you see. But the powers that be, those who wish to play God, latch on to clowns like this. They call it philosophy. And psychology is just simply a manipulation of your thought processes as well. So it's all about manipulation. It's all the work of the amoral side. And he apparently, somewhere in his writings, said that that he was concerned, you know, where this was going to end up at. Well, you're here now, folks. This is where we ended up at, you know. So we got Peterson, who's you know, having a bit of a problem himself now. He's trying to qualify. I watched one of his discussions, and he's doing the same thing all these what I call them. Players do. They try to mix the two sides of this to try to make sense out of the two sides. Well, you can't make the sense out of the two sides, because they're opposing sides. You know, it's like legal and law. You can discuss this till you're blue in the face, but one has absolutely nothing to do with the other. And this is what they're trying to do with philosophy. It's all about manipulation. It's about getting you to believe something is what it isn't. So, you know, I stroke this guy off as a nutcase. But those who wish to enslave others like these kind of philosophies. Well, if God's dead, then who's going to take his place? Well, we will. Ah, good plan. Now, there's another gentleman. What was the name? Heydrich. I don't know how to spell that. Well, here, maybe I can get it this way. Oh, you pygmy. Why won't that back up for me? Anyway, I think his name is Heydrich or whatever it is. Heidegger. Heidegger, I think his name is. And he went through a bunch of this stuff. And now, of these philosophers, Heidegger, I think is his name. He's German as well, I believe. I don't know if I can dig it. I don't know how to spell his freaking name. There we go. Now he got into all this philosophy as well, but then he denounced it. Now that brought Marx in and them who went after him to denounce him. Because after he went through all this philosophy and stuff and started to figure this out, he thought it was time to replace philosophy with thinking again. And he makes much more sense than does Nietzsche and some of his boys. But see, Heidegger was written off basically as a nutcase. Lowbrow, undereducated, stupid, unintelligent, not an intellectual, and his stuff was impossible to understand or read. All things to get people not to pay any attention to this guy. Right? That's the whole plan. You promote who you want to use, and you call out those you don't want people to pay any attention to. Now, what I'm finding here, and I looked at this guy briefly before, and I've only looked at him briefly since because I don't have a lot of time, but it's not difficult to understand how they've laid this out. We went from being men to humans. We went from creation to evolution. And this all took place mid-19th century on. Okay? So everything was basically the same up till the mid-19th century. And then it becomes survival of the fittest, evolution, philosophy, psychology. All of this came out of that time period. And we see where it's got us so far. And it's not going to take us, because as far as humanism, I believe he called out humanism as well. Because what you do is you lose your moral guidepost. It's to take away the morality of good and bad, good and evil, whatever, you know, and then you can just go and look at Soros, who, when he took down the Philippines, you know, he said it was an amoral act, so therefore he doesn't feel one way or the other about it. You know, he destroyed millions of lives. He may have not killed them, but financially and socially, he killed these lives. He killed this nation because he had the power to do so, because he's playing God. Now, if you look at the history of Soros, you know this sucker was amoral from the get-go. And he continues to be so. And he just does what he does. There's no right or wrong. And this is what's taught by a lot of these philosophers. You know, you are God. You know, I don't even know what that movie was. But when I saw that, Shirley MacLaine and standing on the beach with some guy. And he's going, you know, you're God. Just say it. You know, she very tentatively says, I am God. Louder, louder, louder. Now she's screaming it, right? I am God. No, you're not, you twit. Okay? No, you're not. As a friend of mine who was here, was telling me the same thing. He can prove on his fingers that he's God. And I said, that's a brilliant idea. I love it. Okay, so, hey, God, because he's telling me he creates things. Well, you only create things from the things that are already here. Now, where did all these things come from? That's the question. Is it answerable? No. And that's just fine with me. But you have a choice. Either you evolved from some little drop of nonsense, or the Big Bang, or the monkeys, or the apes, whatever, and today, the United Nations and Wikipedia and the statements from the United Nations is that human beings, evolved from the great ape. Well, if that's what you want, fill your boots. But that doesn't explain to me why I have so many different types of trees in my yard and so many different, I've got, black walnuts, I've got apple trees, I've got pear trees, I've got all kinds of different types of willows and bushes and whatnot. Are they humans too? Did they evolve from something? Who knows? But the fact is, you got really one of two choices, and the choice you had up until the mid-19th century was that this was the work of a creator. And then these boys who want to play God come 19th century, they figure out how they can play God, and that's your legislatures, and that's your statute law, and all the rest of this nonsense that's going on now, that they're playing God. And they can do whatever they want, and then they hold you to that because you're not a man anymore. You're a human being, which is classed as an animal. So Heidegger says here that Martin Heidegger was a German philosopher and seminal thinker in the continental tradition of the philosophical Hermetics. He's actually a pretty interesting guy, but I couldn't understand when I first looked at him some months back. I couldn't figure out why he's getting bastardized so bad by Marx and those boys, specifically because he went through the philosophy part of this and then realized what the hell was going on. And drew himself back. His moral compass got a hold of him, I guess, and drew him back. And I don't like manipulators. I don't like liars. I don't like deceivers. And, philosophy and psychology. Both fit well into those categories. And, you think about it. What is philosophy? Is some doofus, well, like this Nietzsche guy, he gets pissed off because his father dies. Now he's pissed off at God, right? And then he runs around. He's bouncing everywhere. I mean, this guy bounces around like a freaking, I don't know what, a ping pong ball, man. He's doing this, then he's doing that, he's doing this, doing that, but they sift through his stuff and they find out what moves their particular program forward. And then they latch on to it and they put it in the universities. Then this is pounded into people's heads and they believe it because they're stupid and easily manipulated. Oh, the great philosophers, they say. Oh, this guy's a really great philosopher. Great, I'll learn and understand and believe everything this clown said. It's a bunch of people sitting around going, or not a bunch of people, you get these oddballs who sit around and go, I was thinking, what if? Well, okay, what if? But there's no basis of your what if. You're not standing on any solid ground here. So now I have Jordan Peterson, who's running around doing all these seminars and that, who is teaches philosophy and psychology at the University of Toronto, who seems very confused because, again, he's trying to intertwine the idea of God, the creator, and the worth of philosophy and psychology as being as something that can be intertwined. It can't. It can't. But he's trying, and I can see the stress in his face. I know the guy's struggling. This is a good thing. He's struggling. He's struggling with what he was taught, what he believed, and what he's seeing. And like I say, all good researchers, regardless of how atheistic they may be when they start, they all end up back at the King James Bible. And I've talked to some really good researchers who, you know, I was the most anti-Christian son of a bitch you ever want to meet because of what he was told. Okay, now that's a group of people also that suffer from mass manipulation. And these so-called Christians need to get their act together. They've lost their moral guidepost. I mean, how is it you can go to a church and be funding or participating in an LGBTQ pride parade? And like, what, are you stupid? Right? That's the opposite of morals, but that's from philosophy and psychology. Right? Again, that's the intertwining of two things that can never be put together. Can't happen. It's impossible. So anyways, we're just about out of time. I really encourage people to go, you know, take a quick breeze through Nietzsche and some of these other philosophers and Heidegger. And, you know, you just make up your own mind as to what you're reading here. But, you know, Heidegger looks like a guy who went one direction and then put the brakes on and went, wait a minute here, what the hell are we doing? And pulled it back. Because what we've done is we've lost our compass. We're just wandering around in the forest now, going, which way's out of here? Well, no way's out of here unless you get a direction. And if you lost your moral compass, you ain't got no direction. You can be pulled this way, that way, this way. They do whatever the hell they want with you. And we got to put a stop to it. We got to get our feet back down on some solid ground. And we have to stand up against all of these things that we see in our nation that is specifically being brought to our nations to destroy the nations, because the guys, the philosophers who started the UN and the psychologists and the money men, all who wish to play God, okay, these are the guys that started the UN. These are the guys that are bringing all of this nonsense to our nation. And we've got to push it back somehow. Anyways, but look on the clock, we're out of time. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This has been the latest edition of Rock the Boat. And hope you got something out of it. Help me, anyways. And again, I hope Jules is healing well. And I have to go make some phone calls as soon as this is over and see how we're going to haul these police and his judge into a courtroom and see how they like it. Probably not very good, but it'll be worth a laugh on their part anyways, or on our part towards them. Yeah, if you ever want to get a guard dog, I don't even know it's worth getting a dog. Just hire a cop. And just chain them up to your back door and feed them a couple, three times a day and tell them to attack. And he'll attack when you tell him to attack because, you know, just screw it. Anyways, there's the music, everybody. Take care. Have a great night. And we'll see you.
Social slime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, this God will give. This is Ozzy Scape.